Rabbi Wallerstein, to all of you here, and the rest of the Jewish family all over the world for the month of Elul. The rainbow, the sunrise, and the mountain. I am Hashem. I made the rainbow, the sunrise, and the mountain for your pleasure. I am the ultimate painter of the universe. The rainbow is to remind you of the diverse beauty in the world. The sunrise is to remind you to treasure each day as it comes, and for you to know that I will provide for you each day according to your needs. The mountain is to challenge you in life, and at its summit is a place to gaze at the heavens that I have created. I am Hashem, the creator of this transitory world and the guardian of the next. Om Haba, eternity.
I am Hashem.
Oh, wow. Thank you, amazing. Chama, they don't understand. They don't understand that when you first came to Anava, right? Your poems were gorgeous, but they were different. This is like amazing. Amazing.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Every girl here needs to learn from you that everyone has the potential at any time in their life to get to wherever they need to be. And you're the lesson every single week.
Thank you so much.
Amazing.
Thank you for yourself, Rabbi.
Okay, enough thank you.
No.
Okay. Refuah Shalem, Nechama Bat Sara, Refuah Ben Agul, Malka Tvora Bat Mary Marina, Susan Ben Sara, Sara Bat Imena, Ilana Bat Nadia, Moshe Ben Rina, Esther Fega Bat Shein, Refuah Moshe Ben Golda Musulea, Fega Sara Bat Rivka, Sara Dina Bat Lea, Michal Yehuda Ben Chaya, Rosa Bat Adina, Mordechai David Ben Liba Zahava, Tzvi Gesh Ben Shein, Rachel Bat Hannah Eagle, Fega Bat Miriam, Hannah Bat Ayela, everyone else we need to refuah Shalema. Over. Ayala Bat Shendel, Rivka Bat Rachelea, Nucha Bat Rachel, Ful Moshe Matzio Ben Golda Mesilea, Melvin Ben Mali, Michal Ben Masuda, Naftali Yitzchak Ben Malcolm Bezos, sorry, Genya Bat Nechama, Ayala Bat Shendel, Rachel, refuah Shalema, Fachayim David Ben Necha, Tinoi Bas Elisheva, Maor Meir, Ben Jamie, Avram Yishaya, Ben Aviva, Avram Moshe Mordechai, Ben Sarabela, Rav Chaim Ben Chassi Miriam, Tarsana Bas Nazrit, Eliza Chaya Bas Sarafreda, Lisheva Bas Devorah, Malka, it can't be Malka, oh, Elisheva Bas Devorah, Malka, Ruvain, Ben Tova Chaya, Shalom Ashi Yishaya Ben Shifrachana Bas Sarah, Chaya Sarah Bas Sarah, Sarah Dina Bas Chaya Leah, Miriam Mendel, Bas Chana Raza, Rufol Yaakov Ben Tzila, Krumet Etta Bas Esther Rivka, Bracha Elka Bas Marvasa Rivka, Ruvain David Ben Chavalea, Chaydish El, Sugal, Anila Daidi, Daidi Lee, which we'll talk about tonight. Hatzlocha Rabba, Rocha Yalvas, Esther Hadassah, Rich Yomim, Ezra, Tio Ben Rachalea, Leo Meir Ben Rachalea, an easy and healthy baby for Rachalea, Bas Chana Bela, for Shalema, for Moshe Matizio, Ben Golden Musilea, Rav Chaim Yaakov Ben Chusi Miriam, Chaim Yana Ben Daba, Shlomo Nachum Ben Bat Yepero, Moshe Ben Yamin Ben Daba Chaya, Avram Yisrael, Yeshua Ben Chaya Leah, Fegat Sarah Bat Rivka, Esther Reza Bat Daba, Sobu Shalamat Bat Daba, Kayla Malka Bat Dasha, Matu Bat Saril, Shalamat Bat Devar Elka, Lili Nishmat, Sarah Bat Hebchi, Michal Bat Ben, Michal Ben Tavla, and Sabina Sonia Bat Sarah. Tavla's right? Okay. Nechama Bas Sura, Nechama Bas Chan, Rafu Shalem, Fidu Shfuyim, Fidu Yonatan Ben Malka, Shalom Arachai Levi Ben Rivka, Agav Yotan Ben Rezal, Yoizei Ben Miral Reshachava, and Gilad Ben Aviva, Rafu Shalem, Fidu Yaakov Ben Rocha Yael, Esther Fega Bat Shendel, Leah Bat Esther Fega, and Simcha Bat, I don't know what's, oh, Chava.
It's a list that was not
Pidgin Shvuyim. I said Pidgin Shvuyim, right. That was, what's his name? All of them. I know Shalit and the three boys in Japan. For Shalem for Rachaleah, Bas Malka, Rivka Bas Rachaleah. Tonight's share is dedicated Lili Nishras, Eliezer Shmuel Ben Yamin, Ben Meir, on his 13-yard site. And also for Hannah, Bas Ben Yamin Menachem, on her Shleishim by Eliza and Sroy Levitansky. Hannah, Bas Ben Yamin Menachem, I knew very, very well. She was the wife of Rabbi Shroy, Olam Shalom, who was my principal, who was a Rebbe for 60 years. 60 years he was in Chinuch. And she was his loving wife, and she just passed away. And the Shleishim is actually, I think, tonight or tomorrow night. Eliza and Sroy Levitansky, I think they are from Cleveland. Also tonight, we're learning Lila Nishmas. It happens to be that tonight is the yahrzeit of my grandfather. My mother's father, Chaim Ben Shmaya. So learning the Nishmas, it's a big chus for me to be able to give a shir on his yahrzeit. We'd like to welcome, all the way from England, we stole him from Manchester, Rabbi Y.Y. Rubenstein. He is now an Arnava rabbi, and he will be speaking here every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. And I'm telling you, you don't want to miss Rabbi Y.Y. Rubenstein. First of all, he's from Scotland, so he's Scottish. And he promised me that when he gives a shir on Purim, he might come in a kilt. So I will be there for that shir, I promise you. And he's a very, very brilliant man. He wrote many books. His last book was On the Derech. It's a book called On the Derech. He's amazing. He is now part of Ornavi. He will be here at Mitzvah Hashem every single Tuesday night at 9 o'clock. Do not miss him. Every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, Jumba, which is the opposite of Zumba. We'll talk about that. Elul, September 14th. So in 2 weeks at 8 p.m., Mrs. Jackie Bitone, Mitzvah Hashem. September 19th at 8 p.m., our day in court with Charlie Harari. He's amazing. Charlie's amazing. Also part of Ornava for our whole Disconnect to Connect. Charlie's part of Ornava. September 12th, for the first time, Avinu Malkeinu in Muncie. We're doing an Avinu Malkeinu event in Muncie, myself and Rabbi Pesach Krohn. On September 25th, Avinu Malkeinu, New York, in Brooklyn College. Whoever has never been there, you don't want to miss it. 2,600 women. We're sold out every year. It's an amazing event. If Chas V'Shalom you have internet, you can go online to Ornava and you can see what Avinu Malkeinu looks like. We're doing it, usually we do it on the Aseres Yemei Tshuva in October, but this year we decided that we want everyone to do Tshuva before Rosh Hashanah. We're not going to wait till after Rosh Hashanah. So September 25th, Mirtz Hashem. If you want to go to California, the first time we're having an Avinu Malkeinu, or now the Avinu Malkeinu in California, in LA, and that will be on October 3rd. And the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. If you want to go to Eretz Yisrael, September 21st, in Mitz Hashem, we're planning to do it in Nevei. If you want to go to Manchester, then in Mitz Hashem, we're planning to do it September 19th. I believe it's the 19th in Manchester. So if you have nothing else to do with your life, you can just follow us around all these different countries. But the good news is that every single speech will be different. So you're not going to hear the same speech twice. Huh?
It's going to be live.
Ornava in Brooklyn is going to be live.
No,
yeah. Maybe California. We're trying. We're working on it.
Places?
Manchester, the time, and there's all the time. Is. I'm everywhere. I'm so sure. Yeah.
Really?
I'm going to all the places.
So can film it in different places?
We'll see. We'll see. There's a lot of work on Disconnect to Connect. There's a lot of stuff going on. All right, Baruch Hashem. There's a lot of stuff going on. But tonight we're here for a shift. So, we just went through a hurricane. I'd like to talk about this little hurricane for a minute. I warned you. I told you. iPod, iPad, Irene. Told you we're stuck in this generation with all the eyes. Okay? I knew the minute it was named Irene, we're in trouble. There was nothing to talk about. Somebody said, I reign. Akash Bocha wanted to say that I reign. I'm the one that runs the world. Okay, that's a little bit of a stretch. I have a lot of fans that are beginning to stretch like my head a little bit. But I'd like to talk about it for a few minutes. I spoke today in Queens College on this subject matter. And I'd like to talk about it because we know that nothing happens for no reason. And definitely a hurricane doesn't happen for any reason. So, it's been a pretty rough year. We lost Leiby Kletsky. Everyone seems to have gotten over that. You know, Tisha B'Av was over, and we all had Shabbos Nachmu. Now we have Labor Day weekend. Beautiful day, beautiful week. Kids are going to college, everyone's going back to school. But we were definitely shocked, and it was definitely a message to Klal Yisrael, to all of us. And then Hashem sent us a message from Eretz Yisrael with Rebbe Elazar Abu Chatzera. Over Shalom. And okay, that was in Israel, Chacham, okay. Very hard to understand what happened there. And then an earthquake! And last week I learned the Gemara with all of you, that it says that earthquakes come to the world when we have homosexuality in the world. And I read you the Gemara, and it was a very clear Gemara, and the Chazal asked, what does that mean? We know there's a fault in California, the Saint Andreas fault. So how can you say that earthquakes come to the world because of this sin? Earthquakes come to the world because there's certain parts in the world that have faults. So the Chazal say, no, the Gemara is talking about in a place that never has an earthquake and in a place that never has a fault, and all of a sudden the earth is shaking, God's sending you a sign. So we had an earthquake and it was 5.8. And I was in Borough Park in my office when we had this earthquake. And everything started shaking. But Rabbi Wallerstein didn't get too crazy because I was like in an earthquake in California. I gave a shiur, I'll never forget it, two years ago on a Matzah Shabbos in Eish HaTorah. And I was in the middle of the shiur, it was like 9:30 at night, and I'm getting into it and I'm screaming. There's like hundreds of people in the room in Eish HaTorah, and all of a sudden the building starts to shake. And I'm like, wow, this is some shiur. Man, amazing, right? So, and you could look at the panic in the people's eyes, but they didn't want to get out of their chairs because you're going to get up in the middle of my shiur. So they were sort of balancing, they were all watching me. Now, I didn't know that it was an earthquake. How would I know that's an earthquake? I was never in an earthquake before. So I'm just, you know, me, I'm just giving my shiur. And the earth is shaking. But, you know, I dive in Borough Park, there's a shul called Shemesh Shabbos. It's a minion factory. And any girl who dates and any serious date, so you know, the guys at 2 o'clock, it's, you're like, when Wallerstein said that the boy I date should be going to minion, you're looking at your watch, it's like 1:30, and he didn't down Myra. Like, what's up with him? And then all of a sudden he's like, do you mind if I go to a minion? Like, where's there a minion? Shemesh Shabbos. Shemesh Shabbos, the last minion for Myra, is 3:15 a.m. And sometimes, for whatever reason, I get caught up and I end up at the 3 o'clock minion. 3 a.m. Myra. And the room's full. I'm like, I know why I'm here. What's up with all these people? So we know already, all the musicians, all the companies that sell flowers and music, they all have representatives from the 2 o'clock minion to the 3 o'clock minion. Because any boy that walks in between 2 and 3, and you know the guy who's dating, he's got his hat and he's got a haircut and he's shaved and everything's in the right place. They know that any guy that's showing up between 2 and 3 to daven means he had a long date, means something's happening. If the guy shows up like 2-3 weeks in a row for that minion, you get all these guys. By the way, if you get engaged, here's my card, you know? So there's like a special 3 o'clock minion. Now, in Shemesh Shabbos, in this minion, so there's a train. New Utrecht is right there. So like every 3 minutes, a train goes by. So when you dominate, the whole place shakes. So I was used to it. So I was like, I was like, oh, you know, it's like Borough Park. There must be, I didn't realize there's no trains in LA, right? So it stopped shaking. And then afterwards, like someone comes up and says, you know, you're amazing. You're a New Yorker. And like, you didn't freak out. That's amazing. I'm like, about what? You know, Rabbi Wallerstein, you were in an earthquake. I'm like, so how come nothing happened? He says, well, this building that Eish HaTorah has is new, and we built it on rollers. They have metal rollers, and they build the buildings on metal rollers, so when the earth shakes, he said, don't get nervous, the building happens to be now across the street, so your car, not where you left it, but it's on rollers. So there I am, Big Shot Wallerstein in Borough Park, in my office, right? And the earth is shaking, and everyone in my office is like, oh my gosh, I'm getting dizzy, what's going on? I'm having a heart attack. I'm like, no. Earthquake. I've been in it. Nothing to worry about. Then all of a sudden, I realized, I'm at Borough Park. There's no rollers under this building. I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm in an earthquake. And then Baruch Hashem, it stopped. It was pretty warm. Right? Then it stopped. What was the first thing, first reaction of everybody after that earthquake?
Tell us that.
Cell phones. Cell phones. What was the first reaction is, oh my gosh, I have Sprint, and it's not working for the first half hour, right? So here is Hashem sending a message to all of us in New York. He's shaking the earth, and everyone's just worried about the cell phones are not working. Amazing technology at the level that our technology is, the human being, and this is just my feeling, that every time the human being as a civilization thinks that we're so advanced, right? That we're godly because we have MRIs and we have sonograms and we can see into a person's body and we can talk across the world and we can BBM and DBM and whatever the other M's are on our Blackberries and mamish, everything is amazing. And now you have that little square where you can take your Blackberry and just zip it and it takes you right where you want to go. Your mamish don't even have to push any buttons. I don't know what it's called. It's a new mice. And our technology is amazing. And we have planes, and we can fly to Israel in 10 hours. We're amazing. And we start to get a little bit like, hey, you know, technology is God. Technology is running the world. What's running the world? Google. Google's running the world. It's got a search engine. Right? You can get a search engine, and you can find Google, and you can, I'm not saying Facebook, right? You can go across the internet, you can fly, you don't have to write a report anymore, it's amazing. Go to college, right? We have to sit there, Nebuchadnezzar, you girls don't even know what I'm talking about. Something called an encyclopedia. It's a big fat book. You have to open it, and you have to read it, and then you have to find the right place. The other book I can't say because I have a list. You know what book it is, it's Sea of Thorns, but it doesn't come out right. Certain things I can't say. I'm a big speaker, but I have a list. That's right, I was born with a list. And I was made fun of in school a lot, so there's a couple of words that as much speech as I had as a kid, and they weren't really like, they didn't like you girls, the speech therapist today. You know, they learned a little bit, like, you know, she sells, you know, seashells at the seashore. That's what I used to do, right? So, it's a little bit different today. So there are certain words that Rabbi Wallerstein, who speaks all over the place, cannot say. Certain words I cannot say. And I always have to come around them and make up a word that's like it. But guess what? Guess what? It still works. Baruch Hashem. It still works. So anyway, so there were these things, and of course today you don't need to do it. You Google the word, you get 15,000 reports, whatever you want. So today, we got lost. We got lost. I spoke about college today. We got lost. We're not connected, I talk about this all the time, but we're not connected to the Bria. Not only to Hashem, we're not connected to his creations. We're totally connected to machines. There's a very good cartoon. I don't know what newspaper was in. They had people walking around on each person's head. Instead of a human head, there was a calculator, there was a Mac, there were different machines, and you had all these people walking around with no brains, with just machines. Because today, that's all we are, we're just machines. You know what I mean? And if it continues going, Hashem doesn't have to create people. We create refrigerators and stoves and phones, and we're totally disconnected. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? This is my own thought. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? So he gave us an earthquake. Number one, Wallerstein, that little guy, that little peanut on East 23rd Avenue V, his name is Wallerstein, and he's starting this disconnect to connect on Tzom Gedalia, and he's looking for a million hours of disconnection, and we're pushing hard. And you girls, we're going to see every single girl that signs up. If you don't sign up, you're in big trouble. And don't give me no 1 hour business. I want 6 hours plus. I'm disconnecting for 1 hour while I'm sleeping. I want 6 hours. If you can't disconnect for 6 hours, then there's something very wrong. Disconnect for 6 hours while you're sleeping, but turn your phone off. So you know what's going to happen? You're not going to know who to try to reach you those 6 hours. Oh my goodness. So what did Hashem do? He said, Wallerstein, you think you can put a million hours together? I could shake the earth, and every single Sprint cell phone in the United States, or in these states, doesn't work. I could disconnect them in 1 second from all of their stuff. And everybody's running around. Oh my God, where's my kid? My grandmother lives in an apartment building. Maybe it caved in. Oh, who cares about my grandmother? Who cares about my kid? My phone! It doesn't work! I'm not getting a line! How did you know that buildings weren't collapsing in New York City? I couldn't use my phone. How would I know? So, did we learn anything? No. The minute the phone went back on, life was good. I'm like, aftershock. I know there's such a thing as an aftershock. Is anybody worried about an aftershock? As long as it doesn't affect my phone, it's fine. Okay. Hashem's like, okay. So they passed a law in New York State. I believe it's also a law in Vermont and a couple of other states. And we read a Medrash that law, the time of Noah, caused the Mamon, caused the destruction of the world. But Hashem said, I will never do that again. I will never cover the whole earth with water. Listen carefully to what happened. This is my translation. Take it or leave it. It's up to you. So everybody's worried that we're having a hurricane with 180 mile an hour winds, 160 mile an hour winds, 140 mile an hour winds. Oh my gosh. Hashem's like, it's not the punishment for passing that law. The punishment for passing that law is a flood. But I will not flood the whole earth. But the punishment is a flood, not wind. I was stuck in the mountains for 3 days this week because the New York Thruway from the Tappan Zee Bridge from New York City to Albany, how many miles that is, was closed because the roadway was flooded out. Technology! The Thruway! Easy pass! You don't even have to pay the guy! You can go through it 25 miles an hour. Technology! Road! Man-made! Concrete! Closed. 3 days. A category one hurricane. Not a five. Not a four. Not a three. A one. So what happened to all our technology girls? So let's look at the day before the hurricane. Where did Reverend Rothstein run that morning? Everybody said, you must load up, you must get a flashlight. A flashlight? When was the last time somebody used a flashlight? So I ran to the store, Ace Hardware, on Nostrand Avenue and Avenue I, and there was a big sign. Sorry, flashlights? Sold out. Sold out! All you big human beings! With your big skyscrapers, and your big lights, and your big technology! Flashlights? That's when I was a kid. And they said, make sure you get a lot of D batteries. And kids were like, what's a D battery? I saw a D battery. Who ever saw a D battery? A battery, something you put in your phone. A D battery? A flashlight? Mazze. So the whole world, all these big human beings, were so connected in their technology, they're all running like a bunch of bugs to the store. You get a flashlight, a prehistoric instrument that gives light, translation of flashlight. Wait, we're not done. So everybody ran to get a flashlight. Number two, got to run to the store. What's the next thing you had to get, everyone told you?
Water.
Girls, what up to Diet Coke? Fresca. Diet Dr. Pepper. Orange juice. Milk. Water? That's prehistoric. I went to the store. I'm like, can I get a case of Poland Spring? He says, you're late, Rabbi Wallerstein. We're sold out hours. But we got cases of Diet Coke. I'm like, no. All that stuff, Diet Coke and soda. Snapple, why'd you get a case of Snapple? Arizona, all of a sudden, Category 1 hurricane, and these big human beings who have all this technology are crawling around with cases of water and flashlights. Hello, Shalom Aleichem. You think you can build a Tower of Babel? You think your technology is going to reach Shemayim? In a Category 1 hurricane, I can destroy all your technology. Your technology, your human-made technology, doesn't stand up to weather, to 60-mile-an-hour winds and 7 inches of rain. Human being, who do you think you are? What a lesson. What a crazy lesson. Roads are closed. In Vermont, there are people stuck on a mountain. Jewish people stuck on a mountain. One of my friends flew his plane to a heliport to take a helicopter to Satmar from Monroe, cook food, to take them up to the top of the mountain. We were put down to become basic human beings from the old days with flashlights and water. What a lesson before Elul, before Rosh Hashanah. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to hurt us. He didn't hit us with an 8.5. He hit us with a 5.8. But there's something else that's very scary. And I really had to think a lot before I decided to talk about this. But I think that it's very, very important. Two people died in the whole of New York State. Two people died in the whole of New York State. Let me tell you who these two people were. In Muncie, a wire came down, stuck on a fence. A little boy touched the fence. He was getting electrocuted. The father was outside with his best friend, the father's best friend. He saw the kid getting electrocuted. He tried to get the kid off the fence, and he got electrocuted in a terrible, terrible death and died on the spot, doing the greatest mitzvah that a person can do, saving another person's life. And the other person that died in New York State.
The little boy is okay?
The boy is burned. He's in the hospital. He's in critical condition. He's alive. The second person that died in New York State was a 65-year-old from religious Jewish woman. I think she was the niece of one of the rebbes, Chassidish woman, who, what? Or sister-in-law of one of the rebbes, and the Skolena Rebbe, and she pretty much drowned because of the water that was in her house. Those are the two people who died in New York State. Two Jews. Two religious, good Jews. It used to be in the old days that no matter what catastrophe happened, the Jews were the ones that were always saved. We had a hurricane, and the only people that died in this hurricane in New York State, in the state that passed the terrible law, were two from amazing people. We don't believe in luck, and we don't believe in accidents. What do we need Hashem to do to wake us up? Two people? How many millions of people live in New York State? Two. Die, and both of them religious Jews? Who's Hashem talking to? How blind, how silly can we be? We lost our protection, girls. We lost our protection. Where we live, and I said this a few weeks ago, where we live in a state that passes a law that a man can marry a man and a woman can marry a woman, God does not dwell. And the Jewish nation, we don't have his protection the way we used to have his protection. So, Rabbi Wilson, should we get up and move to Israel? What should we do? I'm not telling you what to do. You've got to make your own decisions what you want to do. But at least learn a lesson. And understand that with some wind and some water, all your technology that's at your fingertips, that's the way they advertise it, everything's at your fingertips. Nothing is at your fingertips. Nothing. You can take it away in a second. And therefore, this month, which is the month of Elul, which is Ani L'daydi L'daydi Li, I am to God and God is to me. Who makes the first move in that relationship in Elul? We do. We do. At the end of Tisha B'Av, we said to Hashem, Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha V'Noshuva. God, you bring us to you and then we'll come. You make the first move. So with the month, the second half of the month of Av, God makes the first move. He brings us to him. In Elul, which started today, the blowing of the shofar today. The new shofar in shul. Amazing. That's it. We're in it. 30 days. We didn't do so good last year, girls. Maybe we did good for ourselves. We didn't do so good. We lost 4 Gedolim, 5 Gedolim. 2 Jewish people were murdered by Jewish people. We lost 2 people in a hurricane. 4 people were killed in Itamar. We didn't do so good. You can only know how good you did at the end of the year. We need to take it up a notch, everybody. Didn't do so good last year. The only way you know that is looking at the year. And I have no question in my heart that God had crazy, crazy rachamim that it was supposed to be a lot worse, and that maybe it was supposed to be an 8.5. It says that when God writes Gzeirah, so there's two thrones. It's called the Kisei Rachamim, where God sits on his throne of pity, and there's Kisei Adin, where God sits on his throne of judgment. When God writes in his judgment Gzeirah, so even if the Kisei Rachamim, Hashem's pity, can never erase the Gzeirah. He can only change it. So the Kava Yashar says that when God sometimes says there has to be a nega, a plate, nega, nun, gimel, ayin. So the Kisei Rachamim, when God's in his pity, he changes the word nega, nun, gimel, ayin, to oneg, ayin, nun, gimel, which means happiness. So he doesn't erase the letters, he switches them around. I have no question in my mind. My feeling was that that hurricane was written as an 8.5. I mean, that earthquake was written as an 8.5. And the last second, maybe for Libby, maybe the other Karbanos, I can't tell you who saved us, but the Kisei Rachamim took the 8.5 and flipped the numbers to a 5.8. And a 5.8 just shook you up a little bit, and so your phone didn't work for 15 minutes. But an 8.5 would have been New Orleans, and none of us would have been here, and this room wouldn't have been here. No question in my heart that that was supposed to be an 8.5, not a 5.8. So we need to spend the next 30 days making the move. We have to make the first move. I mean, Ludaidi, I am to my loved one, and my loved one is to me, but I got to be to my loved one first. I got to change. I got to do something different. I got to do something more. That is what Elul stands for. Ani l'daydi l'daydi li. And that's one of the reasons we did the disconnect, because we want to take a step. We want to do something. So every person, you don't have to wait till Tzom Gedalia to disconnect. Somebody called me yesterday, said, "You know, Rabbi Wallerstein, I heard the whole thing. I can't wait till Tzom Gedalia. I took my whole office. I have non-Jews, I have Jews. And I told them, today, Rosh Chodesh Elul, today, my office for 1 hour, everyone disconnects. I want all your computers off and all your cell phones off and everyone." He said, it was amazing. In an hour, people mama sat next to each other for 3 years, never knew who sat next to them. Didn't know there was someone sitting next to them. Thought it was a wall that made noise. That's it. It was amazing. So I'm not telling you when to do it and how to do it, but you need to take a step. We can't afford to have another year like this. And believe me, this was a year of rachamim. It was supposed to be a lot worse. Leiby took it for us. About Chatzera took it. Shmir Zinayim. What was Rabbi Abu Chatzera, Belazar Abu Chatzera, the most famous for? The most famous for was he never saw a woman besides his wife in his life. That they made a tunnel from his house to his yeshiva so he didn't have to walk in Be'er Sheva on the street because he might see a woman. And of course, he wore a veil. He wore a veil, like a makubo. So he was like the gadol and watching his eyes. And he got murdered. So when the gadol of watching his eyes gets murdered, why did he get murdered? Because we're not watching our eyes. Because we're not watching our eyes. If Hashem took away the gadol of watching our eyes, means we're not watching our eyes. Not because we're talking Lashon Hara. That's not why he took him away. We're not watching our eyes. We're going on the internet, and we're going on to Facebook, and we're posting terrible pictures, and we're looking at terrible pictures. And even when we go on the internet and we're looking at clean things, the stuff on the side that they put up there to make sure that you see all the advertisements, losing weight, gaining weight, all this stuff. Look at all these pictures. You don't have Shmiras Inayim. And then you wonder, oh, I have crazy thoughts. And on my way here, I got a phone call from a girl. That she was on Facebook and she met this guy. I can't even, she's 16 years old. Oh, you can vape, what happened to her? It's not normal. And everyone thinks, yeah, but I'm different. You're not different. Nobody's different. The Yetzer Hara, that's got a big sign. Big sign. Walks around. I'm different. Everybody walks around. I'm different. And Wallace talks about sneakers, I'm different. I want to talk about Facebook, I'm different. When I'm talking to boys, I'm different. I'm different. He doesn't know my boyfriend. He's different. I'm different. He's different. He's different. If he's a starfish. If he's a guy, he ain't different. Give me he's different. I know him. You don't know him. Yeah. You'll get to know him. It's all right, walks around all the time. Different. I can go to a movie. Girl told me I can watch movies. They don't affect me. Psh, amazing. The whole film industry spends billions of dollars to make a film, so it could affect you. And you're special. Spielberg would not do well with you, right? It has no effect on you. What do you mean it has no effect? Of course it has an effect. Anything that goes into your eyes, you know that you can never dream something you never saw, the Gemara says? You cannot dream of a purple elephant. You can't. Unless you're doing some heavy drugs. You cannot dream of a purple elephant, the Gemara says, because you never saw a purple elephant. So you can't dream of a purple elephant. What you never saw in your life, if I tell you tonight I want you to dream of a Martian, you can't. You never saw a Martian. You might think a person in your class is a Martian, and you might see her, but you're not going to see a Martian. You can't dream something. A person can't dream something that they never saw. Once you watch a movie, it goes into your eyes. Once it goes into your eyes, it gets recorded in your brain. Once it's recorded in your brain, it's recorded in your soul. And guess what? You can't get it out. There's no outbox. There's just an inbox. You can't get it out. I was playing football when I was 11 years old with my father, and I was old shoulder, and I was running, and he tagged me in the back, and I went flying forward, and I banged my head, and I went unconscious. I remember to this day that when I went unconscious, in my mind, in my unconsciousness, from the beginning of my life till my father touched my back, replayed in my head. I saw from the beginning of my life everything that my eyes saw, till he touched me in my back, and when it came, when my recorder played that he touched me in my back, that's when I woke up. I was in a bed. I was already unconscious for 20 minutes. To me, it felt like 2 seconds. So everything that my eyes ever saw, they're recorded. So don't think it doesn't have an effect on you. Because once it goes into your eyes, it goes into your head. And once it goes into your ears and that music that you're listening to, and it doesn't have an effect on you, music is spiritual. It goes straight into your soul from your ears. And it's spiritual, and it has an effect on me. And I can tell you that it had an effect on me. And I was the guy that was arguing that it had no effect. Because the music I listened to, the rock and roll I listened to, was nice stuff, not rap. Kill your mother, kill your brother, kill your dad, right? You know, all that. Just because it rhymed, you know? Most of the stuff didn't rhyme. So what was I listening to already? What was I listening to? I was listening to the Beatles, Yellow Submarine. Wow, terrible, right? So I was listening to music that never had Chas V'Shalom, a dirty word in it, or anything like that. It's very respectful. And I felt it doesn't have an effect on me. You know, Simon and Garfunkel, Sound of Silence, they're Jewish. Come on, how could that have an effect on you? All the music that, the Rolling Stones, okay, it looks like I'm a sugar man, but come on, how could that, you know, Pink Floyd, I was listening to all this music, there wasn't one bad word. There wasn't one negative word. So when my rabbi used to tell me, you can't listen to rock and roll, and I was a drummer, right, I was like, Rabbi Zirach, I'm different. And Pink Floyd is different. And the Doors are different. I'm not going to show off that I know rock and roll because it's not something to show off, believe me. Now, let me tell you something. It took me a long time to break away from non-Jewish music. When I broke away from non-Jewish music, that's when I started giving shiurim in this place. My understanding of a Zohar, of a medrash, of what I'm learning, is on such a different level today because I don't have the non-Jewish music in my head and in my soul. I cannot compare it. And since then I have learned, there are many rabbis that I go to, big old Kabbalistic rabbis in Israel, and when I go and I see them learning, they always have a tape recorder in the back playing Pirkei, some Jewish kids singing some Jewish music. I said, why do you have that? You're learning. Why do you have that? Doesn't it disturb you? And they're, no. If you want to get onto a high level spiritually, you need to have music. And they showed me in the Medrash that it says that every Navi, Yirmiyahu, Yishayahu, all the Nevi'im, could not get Nevi'is from Hashem unless somebody was playing music. The only one that didn't need music was Moshe Rabbeinu. It talks about by Habakkuk that he needed music to get his Nevi'is. You hear this? You hear the power of music? You can't get prophecy, real prophecy, unless there's music in the room. And therefore we see that when they brought Karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash and the Kohanim were working, the Levim had to play music. So you can't say that music doesn't have an effect. Music has a huge effect. And all these things, a huge effect on a person. So you need to know what you need to do in the next 30 days to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to tell him, you don't got to shake the earth. And we don't need hurricanes. We know you're there. I got out this morning, this whole week, sunny outside, beautiful, right? Everyone knows that. Baruch Hashem, Hashem HaRachman. People don't even think about this. Imagine after the hurricane, if we had 3 days of rain. Forget it. I'd still be in the mountains. You wouldn't have a shear, right? People's houses would be sliding down mountains. Forget about it. They couldn't fix anything. So this week, of all the weeks of the whole summer, from the hurricane till today, not till today, all the way through the weekend, until Sunday, 70, 80, 82 degrees, sunny, no clouds, no rain, no wind. So in the din that Hashem gave us is huge rachamim. The earth is healing. So I came out this morning, this guy thinks I'm nuts anyway on my block. I came out this morning and I did my thing at the mezuzah, you know, thank you Hashem. I could see, smell, could taste, the coffee was great. I can hear, right? I can feel all five senses. And I'm like, oh, I do that by the mezuzah every morning. Some people walk by a lot. What's up with that guy, right? Standing with his eyes closed. You know what? Too bad on that. So I walk out today and I look up and it's like so blue. It was like a deep blue. It was amazing. So this guy happens to be walking by, not a Jewish guy, I'm like, check out the sky! He goes, yeah, it's really nice. I'm like, look what God painted this morning for us. How many girls in this room felt that way this morning when you looked at the sky? For me, if there was no one else in the world, guess what? It would have been 82 degrees and sunny today on my block. Every day Hashem paints a different sky. Sometimes it's raining for the flowers and they're like, hey, check out the sky. And sometimes it's a blue sky. And I'm like, Hashem painted this for me. And that's what this month is. This month is Ani L'Doidi. I am to my loved one and my loved one is to me. You have to take the first step. I know, girls, don't do that. It's the guy that gets down on one knee. Right? That's what they say. You get down on one knee to get engaged. Then after you're married, you get that on both of you. We know that. We're good. We buy two little patches for both of our knees, and we know that. Okay, no problem. But girls don't propose. Girls don't take that initiative. It's a guy's thing. And girls should not propose. And they should not take that initiative. It's a guy's thing. So here in Elul, we propose. Each one of us, we propose. We say, Ani L'Doidi Hashem, I love you. And Hashem says back, L'Doidi Li, I love you. And that's what El is all about. And guess what? If in the next 30 days you develop a relationship like that, I love you and you love me, Rosh Hashanah is a cinch. You stand in front of Hashem and Rosh Hashanah, and Hashem's like, whatever. Not Chatzi Amachas, whatever you want. We have a relationship. You show up the first time, hello! I need this, can I have that? It's a different relationship. On your first date with a guy, you're not going to tell him everything that you need, because you're not going to get it. Just met you, hello. Hey, you know what? Hi, my name is Rachel. I need a car. I need about $8,000 in my account. I need all your credit cards. All your connections in school. The guy's like, I don't think so. I'm really sorry to tell you this, but I'm not the guy that you thought was supposed to pick you up. I'm his brother, and I came to tell you that he can't make it. So, if you develop a relationship, and you're about to get engaged, and you're like, you know, after I'm married, maybe I can get a car. Okay, you know, you're going to work here, you can get a car here. And it's a shame, I hope to go shopping, you know. Not too much, you know, just a little bit. Maybe I'll plug Brenda's, you know. I'll go to Brenda's, not Bloomingdale's, whatever. It's a different relationship. You start off your relationship like that. So of course, like God is not a boy, but it's also about, it must be about a relationship, because what Elul is Ani L'Doidi Li. You know that cute story where this guy puts up a big sign, I'm not giving charity to any new people, only people that I know from the past. So this one poor guy shows up and he's knocking on the door and the guy opens up and he says, who are you? He says, I'm collecting for your yeshiva. He says, what are you, stupid? Can't you read the sign? The sign says, if I never gave you before, I never saw you before, don't knock on my door. What are you bothering me for? He goes, oh, I'm sorry. Well, didn't you read the sign? He goes, yes, I did read the sign. So what are you doing? No, I'm sorry. He's like, what an imbecile. And he slams the door in his face. The guy goes, okay, walks around the block, comes back 20 minutes later, knocks on the door. The guy opens the door and says, what's wrong with you? I told you. I'm only giving money to people that I know from before. He's like, we met 20 minutes ago. Famous story, we met 20 minutes ago. Dugma Magid says this. He says, that's what you need to do, Elul. You need to talk to Hashem. You need to develop a relationship. So when the Malachim are standing there, and the Satan and his whole Chevra are standing there, and they're saying like, huh? She didn't talk to you once this year. Oh, now that she shut up, she's nervous. Aha, put up the sign. No new beggars, no new people. Hashem's like, what are you talking about? For 30 days in a row, she spoke to me every day. She's been here every single day. Let her in. The Dugma Magid says this. All right. So I want to end. Had a very interesting day. Too early?
No, you could.
And I have to excuse myself that I will run out of here because I'm in the middle of two weddings. Yeah. One in Williamsburg, one on Avenue Z in McDonald. So, and I told them both that they think that I'm there the whole time. I walk in on the chuppah, I said, Mazel Tov, oh, thank you. So I got to get back before the second dance so they don't realize that I'm gone. So I have to apologize that I'm not going to be able to. Next week I want to talk about L'davar Hashem Ori V'Yishin. We say now every morning, you better take a good look at the translation of what you're saying. Because you're saying something extra for the next 30 days that could be a big lie. And you definitely don't want to add to your prayers a big lie. So after Aleinu, we say L'davar Hashem Ori V'Yishin, which is Psalm 27 if you want to look it up. Now we add after we blow shofar and shul. I don't know if girls say it, but I think you do. What? 27. Okay. I want to tell you what happened. Yesterday I spoke in a Satmar camp for boys. So, without a beer. So, I showed up, and of course, they expected some guy with a long beard. And this camp is in Harris. And I came in, and they were all looking like, so that's the driver, where's the Rebbe? I'm used to that, by the way. It happened to me at a girls' school with Rabbi Max. It was very, very embarrassing. I'm not going to say which seminary in Israel. The first time I spoke there, so they were all expecting Rabbi Wallerstein, and I was going around to all the seminaries with Rabbi Max. Rabbi Max, Ezra Max, has a nice, big, long, black beard. Rabbi Wallerstein, in case you haven't picked up yet, does not. So we come to the seminary, and there's like real frum girl standing outside, and we come in, and she goes to me, she says to me, I'm really sorry, but we're very strict. We don't let men into the seminary. It's a seminary where the dorm is the whole thing. We don't let men into the seminary. So only the rabbi who speaks. You know, we're apologizing, but for the next hour, since you're his driver, maybe you can just wait out here. I promise you. You can ask Rabbi Max. So I turn to Rabbi Max and I'm like, Rabbi Wallerstein, turn to Rabbi Max. Rabbi Wallerstein, are you sure that you're prepared for the shir? And this girl's looking at like, how dare the driver ask Rabbi Wallerstein prepared for the shir? Anyway, so we didn't know how long we were going to play this. I was like happy, let him go get the shir, right? Let her find out afterwards. But some of the girls inside would have known because they've seen me, and she like all proud of herself. And I'm like, okay, Rabbi Wallerstein, go inside. And Rabbi Max says to her, excuse me, I'm Rabbi Max, that's Rabbi Wallerstein. Your face didn't turn white, it turned green. She was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, I apologize. I'm like, it's okay, he's got the beard, I don't, I'm fine. So here I am walking into a Satmar camp, Satmar boys camp, okay? So they're all looking, and I'm like, it's me. I'm Rabbi Wallerstein. So I don't know if you speak Yiddish. So I sat down. I wasn't exactly very comfortable. It's very Hasidish, and I don't speak Yiddish well, and I'm feeling a little different. They're all like, they love this because this clean-shaven guy never came to a Satmar camp. There's no such thing, right? Unless you know, the Spanish guy was cleaning the kitchen. Whatever. Even they had beards, right? So I'm sitting down. I'm like, I got to break the ice. So I'm like, by the way, I'm not Chassidish, I'm not Litvish, I'm a Mekubal. They're all looking at me. I'm like, I know what every single one of you guys, we're like 60 guys in the room, what every single one of you guys is thinking right now. And you're all thinking the same thing. And they're like, really? What? I'm like, er ist nicht von uns. You know what that means? He's not one of us. So that broke the ice and they started laughing. And Baruch Hashem, I was there. I was there for an hour and a half. I had the best time of my life. Because they never heard any of my stories. It was like in a candy store.
How old were
you? The high school guys. These are older guys. They're older guys. They're from 14 to 20. Older guys. So, at the end, the Rebbe brings one of the boys over to me. And he says, they loved your shir. Of course they loved my shir. They were like, this guy, listen to this guy. He's speaking English, first of all, right? And they love my shir. And I told him all my crazy stories. And he says, you know, this boy came over and said that when he grows up, he wants to be famous, like Rabbi Wallerstein. That's what he said. That was the message after my whole shir. This kid wants to be famous, like Rabbi Wallerstein. So what do you tell such a kid? Is that what Yiddishkeit, is that what it's about? You want to be famous? If you're not famous? For 20 years I was in an 8th grade, no one knew my name, except the 12 kids that were sitting in front of me. I had a better time than I have now. You think being famous, everyone knowing you, when you eat, you have to use a fork? I go to Garden of Eden for breakfast, and there's 12 people giggling around the table, and I know they're all pointing at me. I can never order spaghetti. Get it? Right? I can't eat pizza. I gotta eat it with a fork and a knife. It's terrible! I can't misbehave. I can't use my cell phone on the street. Oh. Not easy. You think it's easy? It's not easy. What do you tell such a boy? I want to tell you what you tell such a boy. And what you all need to tell yourselves. The Mishnah will end with this. The Mishnah Yudches in Perek Gimel and Perek Yelos. Hu Haya Omer. Who's the who? Rabbi Akiva. Said, Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem. Beloved is the man who was created in the Tzelem Elohim. Chibi Yaseira Nadath Le Shenivra B'Tzelem. And Hashem loves him very much that he told us that he created us in his form. Chibi Yaseira, says the Mishnah. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us as Banim Atem Hashem. You are my children. Chiva Yisera, that he told us, not that we're his children, but they told us that we're his children. Just being his children and not knowing, what is that worth? Chiva Yisera, that he gave us the Torah, that he gave us Shabbos, that he gave us everything. He said to him, you and me are equally famous. Every girl in this room, everybody watching this shir, every Jewish person is as famous as Rabbi Wallerstein. Whoever else you think is very famous. As Rav Chaim Kanievsky, as Rav Moshe Feinstein, as Sarah Schneer. Why? Because what makes you famous? If your father is God, you can't be more famous. Could you give a good speech? What's that being compared to being the daughter of the God of the world? Or the son of the God of the world? That's famous! Oh my goodness! Prince, what's his name over there in England? He's famous for what? Andrew! He's famous for what? He's famous because he comes from, he's the grandson of the Queen of England. And the minute he was born, he was famous because he's a prince. He didn't have to do anything. Hashem tells us, you are my children. So I said to this boy, you think I'm famous? I'm as famous as you are. Because my tati is your tati. And that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he's a one-third partner. And he never gives up. In L'David, you'll say, when you look at the translation of L'David, it says, my parents have given up on my parents. My mother and father's house has given up on me. What does that mean? The translation is that when you become an adult, you leave your parents' house. When you become an adult, you get married, you leave your parents' house. You never leave God's house, girls. Until you're dead. And when a person dies, you don't leave his house. You go from the ground floor to the second floor. Your neshama is by him as much as your guf is on this world. And therefore, you're all famous. And you're much more famous than giving speeches or whatever people are famous for in this fourth sheker world. You're famous because Tati is God. Everybody's Tati is God. And he don't let go. And all he wants is Anila Doidi or Doidi Li. Take the first step. I'm waiting for you. Just take the first step. Why? Why? Why, Elo? Why take the first step? No, you take the first step. Right? Like a good marriage. No, you take the first step. No, you take the... No, you say you're sorry. No, you say you're sorry first. No, you first. No, you first. So, Hashem, you take the first step. Why do I have to take the first step? I'm sure some people are thinking this through. Why? God, you take the first step. You're Tati. You take the first step. And my high school is based on this. Hashem says, I'll give you whatever you want. But you have to want in. You gotta want it. You want it, you gotta be in the game. You gotta want in. Just walk onto the court. And I'll coach you. And I'll give you whatever you need. If you're sitting on the bench, no. You have to want into this game. You have to want into this life. You have to want into this relationship. Because if I'm gonna chase you all the time, it's not a relationship. You got a relationship as two people. So my school, my high school, the rule is that if a parent brings a kid to get into my school, I don't accept her. Isn't that weird? If a parent comes with their daughter and says, "Hi, Rabbi Wallerstein, I brought my daughter Malki. I'd like her to be in your school." I'm like, "Nice knowing you. There are many other schools." And I'm like, "If your daughter brings you to my school, that's the one I want. Because that means that before she's in my school, she's already in my school. She took the first step. She said, Ma, I want to go there and you're coming to that interview. Not Ma said, I want you to go there and you're going to the interview. That don't work. That kid is not in. I need someone to take that first step. After that, I had a kid that came and said, Mr. Wallerstein, I need you to accept. And I'm like, why? My mother said if I come back to school, she was 17, she's buying me a car. I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't take you. If you're coming to my school because you're getting a car, you're not in. You're not committed. It's worth, I'm wasting my time. And then I had girls who said, "Rabbi Wallerstein, I don't care if my parents don't pay and they don't want me to come. I'm going to work. I will pay my own tuition." I'm like, step right in, girl. You are in my school. Why? Because she took the first step. She took an initiative. She took the first step. After that, you're not going to do nothing. We'll do everything for you. We'll help you. We'll be there. You got to take the first step. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, in Elul, God is in the world more than any other month. He travels the world. In Elul, He wants us, His children, just take a little step. He doesn't need you to take, don't jump off a roof, don't sit up all night and say Tehillim. That's not what He's asking. Just show that you want me. Show that you want me. Get up in the morning and point to the sky and say, "Wow, look what you created. I love you. You're special." Say every morning to Hashem, "I love you." You think that's weird, right? Oh, it's so not weird. I say it every morning after davening. I go up to the Aron Kodesh, and people think I'm probably nuts. I don't look behind me, and I stand there, and I put my face inside the Aron Kodesh, and I'm like, "Shecholas ahava ani. I am sick in love with you. Have a good day." And I give him a big hug. Big hug. Now, you might say, "That's Rabbi Wallerstein, you're nuts. You can't hug God." Girls, you can hug God all day long. You can hug him by learning his Torah. You can hug him by making a bracha. You can hug him by looking at his bria. There's so many ways. You can hug him by davening. There's so many ways to hug him. He just wants you to start. And if we do that, maybe we won't have any more earthquakes. And we won't have any more hurricanes. And we won't have any more chas v'sholem sickness. And the next time the earth shakes, it's going to be the Beit HaMikdash of Eish from Shemayim landing on earth. You all have a tzlacha, ksiva v'chasima tov, and a good nello. Serious. Crazy amazing. come to those who wait. Right? That's what you're saying. Right? I don't know if it's poetic. We need to work on it. But we'll see. Let's see if it's going to work. Double time. That was my grandfather's spirit. I didn't have a lot of options.